Sunday. Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Disgraceful or not, yours is no disgrace here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive. That's right, the only weekly automotive radio show where you can hear things like "Yours is no disgrace" from our favorite, one of our favorite bands. Yes, Ray Guarino, your host, Joe D, his wingman, XO. We like to call him Isaac at times because his eyes light up really nice.
Yes, a nice shade of blue.
Yes, very sweet, very nice.
Yeah, well, they've been talking to me about being a robot for a long time. I still challenge anybody to find the USB port, though.
Yeah, well, we're not going to go looking on this show. That's for sure.
It's a visual medium anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
So what's going on, Ray?
Well, it's that time of year again. You know, we talk about this stuff all the time. I promised that, I always promise that we're going to talk about this stuff, and I will. I want to tell you a funny story about tire pressure because we covered this last week. And my wife even commented on it, how, you know, pressures have, you know, she knows that when the weather gets colder, you lose air pressure in your cars.
Mm-hmm.
I took my Pontiac out yesterday, and I hadn't had it out since the warmer weather.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was like 4 pounds low.
Wow.
Which is a 40-degree, equates to a 40-degree temperature drop, which is about correct.
It was That's about right, yeah.
It was about in the 70s last time. So, you know, you can easily drive on those low tires, which is not safe. But what happened is I had the other car out with my wife. We were out. I stopped for gas at BJ's, and I noticed when I was leaving, I said, "Oh, my Lord, this is great." And she's like, "What? What happened?" I said, "Look at that." She's like, "What?" I'm like, "That line of cars." And she goes, "What about it?" I'm like, "They're all lined up for the tire pressure machine."
Yes.
And I said, "I guarantee you there's five SUVs." I said, "I guarantee none of them would have been there if they didn't have TPMS in their car."
More than likely.
Tell the people, Joe, what TPMS is.
Besides a royal pain in the butt.
Well, yeah.
The tire pressure monitoring system.
Right.
It was mandated by the government back in about 2007 because there were a lot of people that were having blowouts. I think it started basically with a Ford Explorer.
Yes.
That did a
Firestone
roll.
Tires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what the system basically consists of, in most cars, there's a couple of variations, but most cars have a little radio transmitter that senses pressure, you know, the pressure inside the tire.
Right.
And sends that to a module inside the car that then keeps track of such things. When the pressure typically, it's around 20%. Some is 25.
24, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, let's call it 25% just to make it a nice even number.
Uh-huh.
If the pressure drops below that threshold, what happens then is your light goes off. And
well, the light goes on.
Well, goes on. Well, goes on as
turns
in, like,
on, yeah.
It turns on, goes off.
Right.
You know, I like to think of it in explosive terms.
I know you do.
But basically, at that point, you just got to go fill it up and then drive it a little bit more, and off you go.
Right.
Another thing that people may not realize is that another part of the regulation is that when you start the car, if your TPMS light blinks,
yeah,
you have a problem with the system, as in a code, which means that it's not just a matter of putting air in the tire. At that point, you need to have a technician look at the car, probably with a scan tool or depending on the particular vehicle, the whatever specific equipment, there's something up. You know, dead sensor, bad antenna, whatever the case may be. Usually, it turns out to be a dead sensor.
Somebody could have used a non-approved metal cap on that on the valve stem.
Right,
and
right.
Now you get dissimilar
interfering
metals.
Interfering with the signal or the right. corrosion festival that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Or it could just be like the sensors have batteries and the battery could have gone
right.
dead.
They have a shelf life of, depending on who made the sensor, typically 5 to 7 years.
I don't want to even say it. You're going to make me say it, and I don't want to say it.
Dad, say it! Say it! Say it! Say it!
Is that Sam Kinison?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I'm back to school. My Mazda that I drive is an 06, and I still have the original TPMS devices in those tires. They've never been changed.
Right. Well, I mean, some of them live longer than others. It depends on usage. I mean, have I seen cars, like 10-year-old cars with the originals? Yeah. Have I seen 3-year-old cars that one or two of them have gone dead? Yeah.
Yeah.
What kills them could be a variety of things. Sometimes moisture, sometimes fixed or flat.
right.
Anything that could gack up the sensor itself, because it basically just sits in there and it senses pressure. Any kind of, sometimes there's moisture and condensation inside the tire. Anything that could kill them, you know? And they're not actually horrible. They're not the cheapest things in the world to do.
No.
But because the aftermarket has gotten in on this with programmable sensors, now you don't necessarily have to go back to, GM or Toyota or Nissan or whatever. That also has to do with what they call cloning the sensor, because some cars are a real pain to program, which requires a scan tool and a letter from your last three employers or something like that. And other times they could just clone the sensor, so that way the car thinks it's still got the original sensor.
Right. I just read something in Motor Age. They had a fault in a car, and what happened was, just to cut to the chase, the sensors from the rear were now in the front. They went to the other sides of the car, and
the threshold changes.
And even though the scanner recognized the sensors were there and they were active, and the technician said, "Hey, well, what's wrong? Everything is there." It took a little more diagnostic, and they found out that they had been switched front to rear. And
that usually requires a relearn and reset.
Yeah.
Probably a Toyota product.
I don't recall. It was one of the articles. They tend to bundle service articles. And
right. I've run into that in Toyotas. Maybe, Toyotas or Lexus. Yeah. Okay. The last time I had was a Lexus like that. Yeah.
Right.
Some of the stuff can get goofy, and if you're not up on your reading of a theory, unfortunately these days a lot of stuff, you have to know how the system works, and each manufacturer may have a different take on it. How they do things, and you have to kind of get into the logic. I had one yesterday, a 4Runner, Toyota 4Runner, 05, 06. Lady comes in, the rear wipers and the rear defogger doesn't work. And I don't know, when I first walked in, they had 3 or 4 other cars lined up for me. So, and I see one of the other guys, he's got the rear panel off, he's got the test light out. I'm like, what's up with this? He goes, rear wipers and the rear defogger doesn't work. I says, does the door... Yeah, I says, was there any codes? He goes, what do you mean codes? And I go, that thing's got a back door module. So he plugged in the scan tool, and it said, anti-jam sensor detected. I'm like, huh? So I start scrolling through the data. Window, open. Now, this has got a rolled down tailgate.
Right.
Window's definitely closed.
Mm-hmm.
Car thought it was open.
Okay.
Go out there. I says, here, do me a favor. Hit that button while I push up on the glass. Watch the scan tool. Closed.
It's just
clear the codes.
Yeah.
And you have to reinitialize it with the scan tool. And it's fine. All it did was the car had a little brain fart. It thought the window was open.
Yes, because it was off the stop, I guess.
And in all honesty, did I know that off the top of my head? No.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go over to the information system, in this case, All Data.
Right.
And, they like, make sure the window's closed. I'm like, Well, duh.
But that's it. You are a diagnostician and a technician who knows how to do that and go to the next step. Again, this came back to me yesterday. We were talking. It came back how we mentioned on the show finding, you mention it all the time, and I do too, about how to find that information, and you said All Data. Or we talk about Mitchell on Demand. Or we talk about
Mitchell and All Data are pretty much the main ones. There's also Autologic,
right?
Which we had the gentleman on about two years ago now.
We've got to scout him again.
Yeah, and Identifix.
Right.
Yeah.
The point is, we've mentioned it in the past, and it can be confusing to people. Like, you can subscribe to this if you want, but it's real expensive. I know All Data does a thing where they'll let you subscribe for your car. You can do it through AutoZone's website for a month.
Right.
So if you know you have a job coming up, you can subscribe and get all that information. That wouldn't work for me because I like to sometimes just look up specs or look up things. So in that case,
I would just have plenty of paper in the printer and just start printing stuff out.
Right. Well, unless you have multiple cars that you want to deal with, like I do. So
then you go to Staples.
Yeah, there you go. The other thing is local libraries. I know here in where we are in Garden City, the East Meadow Public Library does have those systems. I don't know about all of them, but I know they had at least two of them for anybody with a Nassau County library card could go in and use those systems in the library.
Yeah, don't go into things blind.
So you got to look into it. You can't, like I said, there's only so much information in the owner's manual. It's kind of cursory. It is good, but it doesn't go deeper than
it's the basics,
specs and stuff like that.
Believe it or not, sometimes it's the easiest place to find fuses.
Yes.
You know, some cars trying to look up fuses and like All Data or Mitchell is a real pain in the rump. But if the customer was nice enough to leave the manual in the glove compartment, there's usually a page that shows you all the fuses and what's on it.
And now rather you have than going clicking,
yeah, rather than clicking, clicking, yeah, yeah, exactly,
right.
Now, cars these days too, you could easily have. I've seen like five fuse boxes in different cars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is kind of stupid, but you know, okay, if that's the way they want to do it, then it's up to them. Then it's up to you to figure out and know that.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing. So when you want to look for that information. Online, beware. You may get what you want. You probably won't. So it's professional information. It's like doctors. Doctors used to only have the physician's desk reference. Now you can go to WebMD and get a watered down or a more pedestrian version of the physician's desk reference to look up your own medical stuff. But the automotive stuff hasn't translated. So check with your local library. See if they have the service and then use it.
Yeah, it's not as much fun as diagnostic dice, but
well, the Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah, I have both of those in my toolbox, yeah.
I had some friends who used to use the Magic 8-Ball, but they usually ended up with totally different results because...
Yeah, yeah. I prefer the dice myself because, they're different colors. So, use the cooling system if you have an electrical problem, that kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
But it is important to have information. I mean, that's my... that anybody who knows me, that's the first thing they do when I climb up on the soapbox is information.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got some information here, too. We're going to take a break, and our music this week is graciously sponsored to us from Infinity Records, our good friends down there, Joel and Corey.
You come up with some great stuff there, man, let me tell you.
InfinityRecordsUSA.com. Check them out. I was down there yesterday. Great guys. We were hanging out. They have all sorts of cool stuff, and I bought a Rory Gallagher album. But I want you, Joe, to get that Leslie cabinet spinning and get your bass.
I got it plugged in.
Get the Fender plugged through the Leslie because we're going to visit back with our boys here on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll be back in a second. Keep it where you got it.
I'm Rob Leonard.
And I'm Tim Leonard.
And yes
we're brothers.
Join us every Monday at 9 a.m. as we talk sports on From the Press Box.
We'll give you news and opinions about the Yankees,
the Mets,
the Knicks,
the Nets,
the Giants,
the Jets,
the Islanders,
and the Rangers.
And yes, we're a soccer-friendly show. Come on, you Spurs.
So join us every Monday at 9 a.m. for From the Press Box right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, streaming on the iHeartRadio app and podcasting on Spreaker.com.
It's now easier to listen to the Voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, that's a sweet sound. Joe, Billy Squire on bass. We lost him a little while ago. John Anderson on vocals, of course. Yep. Bill Bruford on drums, guy that everybody forgot about.
All-star team.
And Tony Kaye on keyboards and organs. That is yes. And
Wait.
Yeah.
Billy Squire? Chris Squire.
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I said
I was like, wait a second. I'm like,
sorry.
Stroking. Right. You know, but, well, okay, thank you. Yeah, don't confuse me like that.
I confused my Squires. I apologize. But that was the tie in there, Joe. The reason that music came about, again, is because of you. Because last week you hit
me with... Sure, I get everything. Yeah,
you hit me with... This is good. Take this when you can get it, because these are good things to be hit with. Sir Lord Baltimore was last week, and I had to find music this week, and I was like, wow, 1970, that was a great year. Guess what year the Yes album was done?
That was right about that,
1970.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the year that this year follows.
This week. Is it a great year for Camaros, so...
Oh, it sure was.
Okay. All right, now that we've got all the obsessions out of the way.
Yeah, well, some of them, most of them at least.
Well, we just scratched the surface. By the way, there's something I also wanted to let people know about. By rights, when it comes to TPMS, you are not allowed, you know, people say sometimes, can you make that light turn off? I'm like, yeah, let's fix it. No, I don't want to fix it. I want you to take the bulb out or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That, by the way, is a, it's a federal no-no.
Is it?
Yeah, you are not. It's actually part of the statute that a shop cannot make the TPMS system inoperative.
Okay.
So, you know what? You don't want to look at the light, but you don't want to fix it. Which, you know, if you got it, you might as well use it. I will hand you the piece of black tape, but it is up to you to stick it on the car.
To fix it, yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I love cars when they come in and they have either black tape or they have pictures. It's right. Like an entire gallery. You know, grandkids, kids, dogs.
Mask cards.
You know, mask cards.
Oh, yeah.
All kind of baseball cards. I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know.
MasterCards.
yeah, they're going to need those.
You name it.
Yeah, speaking of we're going to need it, I think we're going to need to straighten up the flashy thing. That thing's
bent. We probably will. So we'll go in and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. This is Howie. How you doing?
It's the big man. What's up, Howie?
Thank you, gentlemen. What's up? I'm at the annual food and toy drive here in Brookhaven at Brookhaven Hall.
Okay.
And we have, probably I would say about 150 to 175 automobiles. And you bring toys and you bring foods for the children in the neighborhood.
That's great.
Beautiful.
Worthy cause, definitely.
It is. It is. And we see some new automobiles here, new in a way that it's been restored. A 71, like a T37 Le Mans.
Is it like
convertible?
Is it like a goldish color?
Is it you mean like a bronze?
No, lighter, like goldish. Like,
no.
Okay.
It's
the factory bronze.
My friend Tom just had it redone in the past year.
Okay.
And a beautiful, beautiful top. It's a convertible. Like, you know, my mother would love the color, like kind of like a bronze orange.
I like that color, too, on that car, yeah.
Like a copper.
Right.
Beautiful, a beautiful vehicle. I was telling Tom, I said, I can drive this car.
Uh-huh. And he said, you can't.
He said, go get in the Sunbird, he said.
Go get your own. You know, because I say that because...
Get my own. Well, hey, you know, I got my convertible. Yeah. But today I brought my Buick, you know.
Okay.
You know.
The Regal?
And I see my friend Andrew has his 64 Cadillac Eldorado convertible, white interior, white top, red, beautiful car. He's here today also.
Very nice.
And it's just a beautiful experience. They offer, you know, coffee, hot chocolate, chili, hot dogs. You know, what more for a car guy?
Well, it's good, always good to hear from Howie's travelogue. Again, Howie, tell us where that event is and how people can find it if they want to show up.
Yeah, it's on exit 63 North, and it's at the Brookhaven Hall. It's almost going to the Bald Hill. Instead of making a left into Bald Hill, you make a right. You go down about a quarter of a mile, and it's on the left. And it's a great function. There's music here, live music. And it's for, you donate toy, unwrapped toys, and you donate food for the children in the local area. And it's a great event. Been going here for years.
Excellent. If people go down there, they should look for Howie. And say hi.
Please, I'm in my AC Delco jacket. It's kind of bright, you know. You can't miss me.
All right,
wearing the colors, yeah.
All right, Harry. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate that, and hopefully, you'll help to get some more people down there.
All right, thank you. Hey, I'll see you guys soon. Okay. Happy motoring.
All right, Harry. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. Our roving correspondent, on Man in the Field.
Howie's travelogue. Yeah,
yeah, he's. Yeah, cruising with Howie.
Like cruising with Howie. Right,
right. Right.
Kendra's got nothing on Howie. Joe, I got to tell you this.
Have you had that eye fixed yet? No, okay.
No. I got to tell you a story that happened to me yesterday that's one of those crap moments. But
oh!
I took my Pontiac out because it's a great weekend to take the classic car out and drive it. And I went to Massapequa to go to the record store. But I noticed that it was cold yesterday.
Yeah.
And
I'm still defrosting.
You know, I have used the heat in my car before with the vintage air, and it worked fine. And as I'm driving, you know, at a light, I felt nice. As soon as I started to accelerate and went further, I was getting, I felt a draft. I was cold. I had the windows up.
Yeah, okay.
And I felt it coming from the driver's side. And I kept thinking, like, God, what is it? You know, I got a couple little pinholes in the floor I want to just tack weld, but it's almost like the fuse box fell out of the car.
Yeah.
And I was like, and when I would slow down, the draft got less. When I stopped the light, I felt the heat again. It felt good. So I said, okay, you know, I did my business at the record store, drove, forgot about that. And as I'm driving home, felt it again. I'm like, I really got to look at this because this is like, there's some air coming in.
This is uncomfortable.
But I'm thinking, what could have happened? The fuse box obviously couldn't have fallen out. I have the boot in place that goes around the column where the clutch rod goes through.
Right.
And even that wouldn't let that much air in. Like, right. Did I get this, you know, seismic hole? I'm thinking, I better get a floor mat fast.
Okay.
Not till I was backing the car in the garage. This goes to show you, like, what happens when you don't drive a car all the time.
Right.
As I was backing the car in the garage, I don't know why, but I looked down to my left, and I remembered, I had the floor vent open.
Oh, the floor vent.
You remember floor vents,
That's right. They're still functional in that car because it's a vintage air system.
Well, that one is. I had taken them both out because on the right side, you have to remove the floor vent and the cabling because that's where they pass the heater hose and the AC lines.
Mm-hmm.
But when I realized, like, hey, why did I take the left side out? I can still use that. So I put it back in.
Okay.
And I had it open because the weather was warmer. And like, yeah, it sure is. And to think now, I was thinking of it when I was going to bed last night. What a dopey moment. But the air actually comes in through the air intake by the windshield, and it comes down the side of the, you know, like where the torque box is on the side of the cowl where the firewall is.
Right.
And that's where it comes through. And that's why as I increased speed, I got more air. I was like, you know.
So you had a flashback in your pants leg.
Yeah, pretty much. It was, and that solves.
Jim agrees with that.
That solves the question. As I'd wondered, you know, in the summer, I'm like, do these things work? How much air comes through? Yeah, well, actually, a lot does.
You just found that. Well, that's good to know. I mean,
how stupid!
You are an intrepid soul for having that thing out in the cold weather like that. Although I know that car is pretty much an all weather vehicle.
Well, I guess
except
for the tires, really. Well, the rear tires.
Well, no, I mean it's not a complete garage queen where some people don't take it out where there's like a couple drops of rain, too much humidity,
right.
Too many leaves falling, you know, the birds are incontinent or whatever, but
yeah.
No, your car comes out, you know, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And maybe we should put one of the little orange tags on that, you know.
I think you're right. Remove before flight.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
See?
I was like, you know, and I thought about it. I felt like such a doofus and said, that goes to show you how we've gotten used to modern cars with HVAC systems that are sealed and that do everything for us. Here was the thing where you open the vent, you get air. You close the vent, you don't get air.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then well, you got the wing window, the vent, right. The wing vents, you know, just talking about that.
I mean, that's
kind of
an
stuff.
Obvious one because you see it, but I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Like, you know, years ago, of course, I would have, like, you know, you close it, throw
well, I mean, pretty
closed.
Much all the other times that you've had that car out, it's been pretty warm, temperate, you know.
Exactly.
And talking of that, we got more flashing going on.
We got more flashing. So let us do this. We'll go over here and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Yes, hi, caller. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey there.
Hey.
Come on, boys.
Oh, Mark, what's happening?
What's going on? Sorry to interrupt the conversation.
No!
That's what we're here for, Mark.
We were just talking about air up our pants, like, you know, whatever. No,
yeah, hey, listen, I got... on my Infiniti I have, a 2000
i30. Uh-huh.
I noticed the last couple of days, when I turn the key, nothing happens. And then I turn it again, and it starts right up.
Oh, okay.
None of the... And yes, I'll do it again for you. Anyway, last week I cleaned the battery terminals. They're fine. I checked the battery with my, what's that name of that place? Harbor Freight battery tester.
Okay.
That's a carbon pile load tester.
The toaster! I love that thing.
Actually, well, you know,
I got to tell you. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just to interject, just so people know, the way, you know, carbon pile is the old way of doing it. Now the way you check a battery is you use a capacitance test.
Right.
Capacitance tester. And they're a little expensive. I don't have one yet, but maybe someday.
Well, I don't know if this Harbor Freight thing, I forget what it's called, but I got to tell you, I checked a lot of batteries, and the thing, it works great. It really does. It's not the type where it lights up the nichrome wire and you suck it all out of the battery and you're trying to
test
on it. And it's been accurate all the time for all the stuff I've used, and it's accurate on this car. Now, the battery in this car, oddly enough, is 7 years old, okay? And it's not fine.
When heavy sigh.
Yeah.
Heavy sigh right there.
How many months was it rated for, Mark?
I think it was a 5 or 6 year battery.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I just had this conversation with Cliff last week about his Roadrunner. Yeah, go on. So,
do you think?
Yes, I do.
I should just replace the battery and be done with it. Even though when it cranks, it starts, you know, fast.
You know, I told him a story in my own Mazda. I had that issue where the car, it did start, but when the weather got like this about a year or two ago, I noticed that in the morning it was a little bit of a slower crank, and then it would start, and the rest of the day it started fine. And I said, you know what? I got a feeling. Let me check. And I went back to my service records, and it had been 5 years to almost the week that I had changed the battery. And I'm using 5-year Interstate batteries. Then I looked back further to when I first bought the car, and every battery I put in that car was just at the 5-year interval, give or take a month or two. And I said, yeah, that's what they do. You're lucky you're getting the slow start, because when that battery fails, you're just going to get nothing.
Well, it's not really a slow start. That's what I'm saying. I'll turn the key and nothing. Then I'll turn it again, and it starts like it's been starting for the last 5 years, you know. And it's even if after it's warm, I'll run into a store or something, come out, and sometimes, not all the time, I'll just turn the key and there'll be like nothing.
You tested the battery and it came out okay.
According to this thing, yeah. I'm going to check it again a little later because I used it before.
Well, okay. Basically, you know, I just pull up a diagram real quick on my old data system. This has got a pretty straight up. It's got a pretty straight up starting system. It's got the neutral switch, it's got the ignition switch, it's got a starter. It's got a starter relay. No, does it? Yeah, it's got a starter relay. it's possible that, you know, one of those other components, like say the neutral switch, or, you know, Nissan ignition switches can get funky too. However, what you'd have to do there is catch it red-handed. I mean, personally,
if you see it with bell bottoms and an afro, you know it got real funky, and you better change it.
I'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, did it just start happening because of the cold?
Yeah, it just started happening. Like I said, about 2 weeks. I kind of.
You know, it's also been warm the past couple of weeks, too, in some spots. So.
And it's going to be in the 50s this week, so watch it again. But that is the kind of thing that'll take a battery over the edge.
Right.
I don't want to be somewhere, you know, with the wind blowing at 20 degrees and turn the key and nothing.
I think if you get there, you'll be okay, going by what you're saying. It's just like it'll be the first start of the day that's going to give you trouble.
No. It happens. It'll happen during the day.
It happens randomly.
Well,
you know, what I just don't want to happen, my Z34, it had the same issue.
Right.
And I had changed, you know, I had like the sticky starter deal, solenoid deal.
Right.
And I changed it. And I can't change it because you need a lift because it's shoehorned.
Oh, that starter's in a god-awful place right near the alternator, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my guy said, listen, you better hope that alternator never goes.
Yeah. Oh, those things are a horror show. Yep.
But, you know, I had it changed, and I put an AC Delco new starter in at the time. And it turned out, turn the key, same thing, click. But at least you heard the click.
Right.
So
right.
It was, long story short, I think I told you guys, I put a Ford solenoid in there.
Yes,
which, right.
Rearranged the wiring, and then it not a problem. Starts every time. It just amazes me. But, you know, I don't want to go through the same thing with this car.
I'm going to say this, Mark. Watch it this week because the weather's going to be in the 50s. If it doesn't happen at all this week, I think that's kind of pointing a greasy finger at the battery.
I'm having a flashback here.
Well, the battery is much easier than a starter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, stupid question.
Yeah.
When this happens, are you by any chance, to finally get it to start, are you by any chance fondling the shifter?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'll even use the remote start as I'm walking to it, and I see the lights come on the outside, and there's nothing. Then there's a long pause.
Oh, yeah.
And then it restarts again on its own, and it'll start right up.
Well, okay, the reason why I'm saying that is I've had a number of Nissans, regular Nissans, I'm sorry, no upscale Nissans like yours, but I've had sticky shifter cables cause the shifter to not quite go into, in this case, park. And if that, in looking at this diagram, I get too many flashbacks, guys.
You do.
What happened was I would get in the car and I would be like, the first one I had, I just like popped out. There's a starter relay. Popped it out. I was checking the operation, the command side of the relay, because I had already checked the other side. And like I was like, okay, car starts every time if I jump the relay. But then what happened was I noticed that I got no ground. And now that I look at this diagram, it's the same thing. The part neutral switch supplies a ground to the starter relay. So I don't know. I just like smacked my hand against the shifter just because I was like, also the car starts.
Yeah. Hey, that was good.
Yeah, and it was a sticky shifter cable.
Yeah.
So
well, I hope not. But we'll, you know.
Well, basically, my quick and dirty no tools diagnosis here would be when this happens, just take the shifter and kind of slam it.
Well, just push it forward.
Yeah. Just give it a little scuff, right? You know, and just kind of smack it forward, or like wiggle it, and just for giggles to see if it snaps out of it. Another thing that may or may not work, again because of the position of the park neutral switch, is that the shifter lockout may not function properly because the shifter lockout only functions in park or neutral, particularly park. So if you find that that's not working, neutral safety switch, shifter cable adjustment. Be first thing I look at. Easy enough to do with a test light.
All right.
You know?
Mark, we're going to leave you with that because we need to take a break. And I'm going to say one thing. I think the takeaway for me is drive a car with a manual transmission.
Here we go again.
Right?
Do the what?
No, I said drive a car with a manual transmission.
Then you can roll it.
Like me.
Like the Caravelle, right?
Right. And you don't have to worry about all that crap.
Okay. Take care, guys. Thanks for your time. I'll get back to you.
Right. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Just like Mark, Joe, here on Motormouth Radio, you know, we see a lot of things like that. And you do see, like with your flashbacks, I'm sure you see a lot of good people. So this song, I think, is
turning
channeled.
Turning their heads each day.
I'm kind of afraid this song was channeled through your flashbacks. So here on Motormouth Radio, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back while Joe has another memory. See you.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Opa! Yahtzee!
Hi, this is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an oppa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Oppa!
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Surrounding ourselves with ourselves and with others. It's back to Motormouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino.
Move on back to square.
Yeah, back. Joe is back to square with my wingman XO and Isaac, as we call him at times, Joe D. And we are back. Give us a call, 516-572-7440. Yes, Joe?
I just had a moment. Mark, you said that you tried your remote start.
He did.
On that. Okay. That means that that car's got some kind of alarm system / remote.
Probably factory
activator. No, not in 2000.
Oh, no, not factory?
You know what, Mark? Find the starter relay that somebody taped up on the dash that works with your remote start and also breaks into your factory cranking system.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Bypass it. Give it a few days and see if it stops working.
Okay, bypass.
See if it stops screwing up.
Bypass the relay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've had a couple of cars where that segment of the relay burned out or got sticky. And that would also cause it. I totally forgot about that, but as I walked away to take a little break, all of a sudden it dawned on me that you said remote start, so.
Got it.
Okay, back to our regularly scheduled head scratching. I Columbo every once in a while.
Yeah, it happens.
It must be this raincoat.
It could be the cigar, too. I don't know. yeah. So that's,
I'm looking at you kind of funny.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that does creep up with cars as they age, and, you know, you got to deal with it.
Stuff starts decrepitating, yep.
Yeah,
what kind of got me going is I had this Nissan pickup truck that didn't start. And fairly late model, like a 2008, something like that, which for me is fairly late model, was a no start. And I get in the truck, and it starts every stinking time. Okay. But I have codes in it for the anti-theft system. And the truck came in on the hook.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the? Finally, there was, and what I usually tell the customers, or I tell the boss to tell the customers before I even bother looking at it, is give me the other key. Because the anti-theft systems,
right,
you know, they have the radio frequency transponders in them now. So what happened is I had codes for the anti-theft system, and basically, they handed me the other set of keys, and car starts. Then I notice that there's one key on there that's just a flat metal hardware store, buck and a half type key.
Mm-hmm.
I stick it in the ignition. It turns the starter. It turns it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the car doesn't start.
Okay.
Because it doesn't see the transmitter. I'm like,
correct.
By any chance, was somebody unfamiliar with the car using it this week? Yeah, I let my son-in-law drive it. I says, do you remember which key you gave him? He goes, yeah, the metal key. I'm like,
yeah, there you go.
Here, take this away. Put this someplace safe.
Again, it's
problem solved.
It's all about reverse diagnostics and going through a problem backwards, which would be reverse diagnostics, to try and find an issue. And Joe, like a psychiatrist, psychologist, or good doctor, you're very good at that because you realize what has to take place for something else
human
to happen.
Nature.
And instead of looking at the fault itself and saying, oh, there must be a bad part, you go back and then you get into the human nature stuff. Stuff we, you know, our own.
Oh, please, yeah. No, you got. I hate, one of the things I like what I do is they usually give me the car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's me and the car, you know what I mean? And, okay, they may, the story may creep into it sometimes, like, oh, this customer doesn't have any money, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't really like, that's one thing about having my own shop that I don't miss is having to go face-to-face with the customer. Because mm-hmm. even though I do deal with people on a regular basis in my day job, I just want to work on the car.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't forget stuff like this sometimes, where the customer, you know, does something. I'm going to use the word ignorant, mm-hmm. or they just didn't know how the car worked or whatever. But it's not like malicious or lazy or something like that. Although you do see lazy sometimes, lots of lazy, as in the form of like lack of maintenance.
Oh sure, well that's yeah, well. Which usually translates to lease of car, but not always. I mean,
oh please, yeah.
I see when people have cars that are now a little older, like in the early 2000s or even before, they kind of figure like, you had a car made it this far, I don't have to do this or that or
right,
you know, and they,
right.
and they don't, you know.
Yeah, and then finally something clogs up. I mean, lack of, you know, it sounds like such a given thing, but oil changes.
Yeah.
All right, with the right oil. Or coolant changes with the right coolant.
Right.
Otherwise, I mean, cars with direct injection, they use a mechanical pump, mm-hmm. which goes on the cam, which has extremely high pressures associated with the cam lob. And if that thing wears out, not only do you need a fuel pump because that part of it wore out, you also need probably a camshaft. Like some cars, they give you a little, the eccentric is a separate piece, but most part, it's motor time.
That just flashed me back to a discussion we just had earlier, which reminded me specifically of the marrying and the relationship between a rubbing block on a set of points
right.
and a distributor lobe.
Right.
Same thing. When that wore down, you know, you
ain't going no place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Used to keep an Allen key in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know.
And a matchbook.
Yeah. Allen, you know, business card, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you know me, where I keep things in my pocket. You
what
know,
is in like, Joe's pocket?
Yeah,
that's, you know, I'm wondering about that. You just pulled out spaghetti.
No, it's the wrong. If my spaghetti ever gets to be that color, I am not eating it. I can't really say anything
There's
about that.
A couple of test leads I see.
Yeah. And we also have. Well, this is a fun one. This one's actually an early 90s Cadillac Eldorado that had a no-start situation because of the anti-theft.
This is almost an adjunct. We don't have a sounder for this right now, but it's almost an adjunct of this.
What does Joe know?
Nothing.
Yeah,
actually, I had these in my pocket from what was it, last night? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
It all kind of runs together.
Yes.
But this particular Caddy was like an early 90s Eldorado. Wouldn't start, and it had the infamous starting disabled message
mm-hmm.
on the dashboard. Wait 10 minutes, which is, it could be pretty inconvenient, you know.
Yeah, and when you're trying to make a getaway, what year was that car?
Like 91, 92.
Oh, wow.
You know, so... what happens with that, that's the original GM pass key system.
Right.
Which had the resistor and the key. And basically, it's actually a pretty straight up system to diagnose. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about this is that because there's a lot of cars out there, Corvettes from the mid 80s.
My Impala.
Right. Your Impala, you know, Impala SSs, Camaros, Firebirds. Grand Prix, a lot of cars, especially, you know, that performance cars from like the late 80s, early 90s had this system, which is actually extremely simple. It's got a resistor. All right. That little black chip in the key is nothing but a resistor. And to diagnose it, you could pretty much get by with a multimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And what you may want to do ahead of time, because this will happen to you at some point in the car's life, put an ohmmeter across either side of that little chip in the key. And it's, they have a range of resistances that go from
like
about...
Like 6 or 8 of them, I think?
Actually, there's like 15.
Oh, does that mean? Okay.
Yeah, they go from like about 400 to like 12,000 ohms.
Okay.
All right, well, like a 20% tolerance. Whatever it is, I would take that number and just kind of write it down someplace because what happens and what happened to this particular Caddy was when you stick the key in the ignition... there's two little springs that touch that resistor, and the module senses that ohms.
The resistor gets inserted into a circuit.
Right. It's
like
part,
a bias circuit.
Becomes part of the circuit, and it pulls it down from 5 volts to 2.5 or whatever it comes down to. Okay, it doesn't matter as long as you know that number. As you rotate the key, what happens is that there's a wire that goes down the column, and they rub right here. See, I'm holding something.
I see.
They rub right at the end of the where it rotates around the barrel of the lock cylinder. And eventually, even if these wires break momentarily, like I think it's 0.5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
all right, 500 milliseconds, the system says, "Oop, no start for you,"
mm-hmm.
and you now have 10 minutes to kill.
Right, right.
All right. So what you could do is, and this is why I keep this around. This is something I snipped off an old lock cylinder that I had fixed at one point, is that once I determine the resistance using my multimeter, I have a pocket full of resistors, but those things hurt when they dig into your pants.
They do.
I also have a variable resistor.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Also called a pot.
A pot, yes.
Which is short for potentiometer.
Potentiometer, but, you know, so if I say I have pot in my pocket,
right.
you don't instantly want to become my friend, okay?
Right.
So what happens next is...
Well, it's good because neither does the drug-sniffing dog, so you're safe.
My dog only sniffs lasagna.
Yeah.
But that's what I have the test leads for here, is I hooked up the pot to this.
There you go.
All right, and
what's the rated value of that pot, do you know?
I can get like 10,000 ohms out of it. Pretty much what I do is when I did this one here was about like 1,200 ohms, so I just kind of dialed it. I didn't really go through the entire range.
You
could
put your own meter on that and find out.
Yeah, well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I just kind of sat there and twiddled it. What happens is now with this little... piece of
test lead,
which this is off an old lock cylinder.
Yeah.
All right. And what I did is I plugged it into the car, and I'll talk about that in a second. And now the car thinks it sees the key uninterrupted. Okay. Now, if you turn the key off after you've waited the prerequisite 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
If the car starts, off you go. Now, at that point, you could either replace your lock cylinder and, Get the proper, make sure they give you the proper replacement key that matches your old one. Or what some people do, like in the case of this particular lady, rather than go through all the BS, what we do is we wire it in a resistor using one of these.
Yes.
And now the car thinks it's got the resistor and it'll live happily ever after because it sits in the garage. Nobody's going to steal it anyway because it's an old caddy, you know?
I'll tell you what, Joe, let's finish that up after we take our last break.
Okay.
I know that thing goes through perpetual change and so does the diagnostics. So let's see if mm-hmm. the boys in the old Yes album can do the same thing. And we'll be back with Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. While Joe catches his breath, we'll be right back.
Okay, listen up, class. Beginning in 2017, we will be meeting at a new time, so don't forget.
Forget what?
That the Unforgettables will now be on the air from 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday nights.
Forget about it.
So then you won't forget?
Forget what?
That the Unforgettables will now be on from 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday nights.
Excuse me? I forgot what the class is about.
The Unforgettables, as always, has been about celebrating the great American populist songbook, the vocalists, musicians, and songwriters. We not only play their music, but oftentimes a legendary name or newcomer to the scene will join us for an interview. So don't forget to tune into The Unforgettables every Saturday night at 9 on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Whoa, hey man, I think I'm in the wrong classroom.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
What are all these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you or do you not know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's a big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the Voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Wow.
More flashbacks.
Just like this bar right here. Oh, John Anderson, what a sweet voice. You know, that album, like I said, ingrained in my life. I love it. The Yes album. Check it out. If you have a record store near you, which I found out that our good friend Vince down in South Carolina doesn't. Up here, we're fortunate. You know, we go over to Infinity and bug the guys over there, Joe and Corey. And, you know, I what I like to do is just find stuff that I haven't bought. I, you know, sometimes I'll buy other copies of stuff that I have, but a lot of times I want to buy something I don't have because, hey, it's kind of fairly cheap, and now I get to experiment. And if you've never heard that album and you like prog rock, that was something, Joe, that you and I were going to play when we covered Rob's Free For All show back on October 22nd. And I realized, like, wow, if I play the two Yes songs that I wanted to play, it was 18 minutes. So
I was going to say, at that point, they just have to just give us the whole afternoon. But Rob was running out of oxygen there in the closet, so... We really couldn't do it. I just wanted to add one quick thing about that little what I had in my pocket there.
Yeah.
That piece of wire is always two white wires with an orange sleeve, an orange protective sleeve around it. And that pretty much holds true for any GM car I've ever seen. The reason why is because there's other colored sleeves in there, particularly yellow, which is the airbag, which you don't want to be screwing with.
No.
Okay? And... just make sure that you know if you're going to be messing with the system, it's the orange one. Also, if you know anybody who's got a spare column for one of these things, you may want to clip that little connector out and have it handy.
Right.
I know people who actually use that now as an anti-theft device because what they do is they just pop it out, and now the car will never start until they pop it back in.
Sure.
So it's kind of a handy dandy thing.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm done.
That's good.
Oh, so we're flashing.
So that was our are we? That was our. Newer service tech, but let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, it's Jim.
Hey Jim,
what's up, Jim?
Hey, I'm listening to Joe, and you guys reminded me of a story one time a while back when I was down there in the studio with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had somebody show up, another listener, and unfortunately, he showed up a little late to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he did ask you guys about something similar with the pass key and the resistance of the key and all that stuff.
Right.
And you know, as you know, Ray, of course, is sitting there going, "Yeah, I know about those." And of course, I'm pulling out the keys to my wagon, going, "Hey, check this out!" You know, I got the same thing.
Right. Yeah, it's a very pervasive system in like the 90s. Yeah.
But then you start in. You knew which wire it was.
Right.
You knew the color of the wires.
Purple and white.
You knew the gauge of the wires.
Purple and white, black and white, 18 gauge.
You knew the name of the company that Briggs & Stratton had sold their lock company to.
Straight Tech.
Isn't it great?
And yeah, I hope everybody realizes the wealth of knowledge that Joe has, and it amazes
I'm just
me
a really
every
good
single time.
It.
And
Thank
I've known
you.
Joe 30 something years, and I think we just dated all of us.
Jim, where else could people go on a non-national format, a local format, to find information like that at the drop of a hat? All you got to do is
what we got to pick up a hat. Excuse me.
You don't even have to.
Oh, there it is.
You don't even have to poke Joe. You just have to like say something, and you don't even have to give him a donut or a cup of coffee. You could just, you know.
Although they're always welcome.
Yeah, and then, yeah, because usually he's sitting here buzzing like a cheap TV, just waiting to give that information out. So
he is a font of information, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mostly Comic Sans Serif.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Well, that's always mixed in also, and that's always fun to listen to as well.
Well, I appreciate the fact that that is a very good memory there, Jim.
Jim, the VAT system, yeah, in your car, is that all original or has anything been changed?
No, it's all original, but I was reading up on how you can bypass that system with...
A resistor.
We're putting a resistor in line.
And how many miles are on your car?
140,000.
So that's a that's a great service life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, one of the things that I always dissuade people from doing, which is pretty common these days, especially when my daughter's concerned, is they have like a Pan's Labyrinth ball of keys and things on their key ring.
Instant death on a Honda.
Yeah, I mean, it just weighs that key down.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, don't do that because it's...
Well, remember, there was a GM recall a while back where they... Part of the recall was they made the key. They updated the switch, but they also made the key that you could only put one key on this thing. You could not hang the Pan's Labyrinth ball over there because they realized that the weight of it could cause problems. They made it so that way it was impossible to hang anything else on. I was like... Yeah, so what do I do now? Duct tape this to my wrist when I get out of the car?
You need one of those things like the gun where you hit it, it comes out of your sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. I had that
recall on Lois's Monte Carlo, which is a 2003.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
And
that would be one of the cars.
We went to the dealership, and the guy goes, here's this. And basically, it's an insert for the key so that instead of being able to slide all around, you just got this one little hole right in the center.
Exactly.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I tell Lois, you will not put 50,000 things on your car keys.
Right. No, it's. I mean, there are some people that are pretty meticulous about that. Like, I have a bunch of keys, and I kind of goof around because Ray only has the key to the car he's driving.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah, and typically I will have. Well, I've got like about 6 cars in the fleet, so basically I'll have all 6, and. Well, I figure it's one of those situations where you never know when you got to move the when I come home on the block that I live in, and between my block and my driveway, I don't know what I'm going to have to jockey before I get the chance to get in the driveway. So I have to have a whole boatload of keys, you know. But I think the less keys, the better. I mean, I've done especially Hondas and older Toyotas, where the weight of the keys actually like wrecked the ignition switch.
Oh, yeah. You know, even on older cars where there were no VAT systems or whatever, it would wear out the key would be worn down. You could use like anything. You could use a swizzle stick from a
tie wrap, whatever. And, not to mention it takes the paint off the column of the dashboard.
That too. That's one of my pet peeves, seeing a GM column that's all scratched up. Oh, I hate that.
I know. But you know, some people.
In fact, in my Impala, I have the key on a separate little click. I take just the ignition key off, and that's the only key that goes in the ignition.
You know, that actually makes. You see, Ray thinks of stuff like this. Me, I'm like, it starts. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to have a talk with it. How bad could it be? You know? So, leave it to Ray to come up with the finer points.
Well, it was
all hail Ray.
Yeah, no, you
it was
got
just
that
a,
right.
It's just it's kind of a, you know, it's like doing this. It's kind of a conglomeration of anal retentiveness, making it easy, and just, you know, you do that kind of with everything, and you kind of stick on track and
staying with it. Yep.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I got into a habit a long, long time ago of actually carrying 2 sets of keys. One would be the car keys and nothing but the car keys.
Mm.
And then the other was the house keys, the work keys, the other keys. And I always, on that other keychain, I always had a door key.
Right.
Because I was always stupid enough to lock my keys in the car.
Right.
Okay.
I did something similar.
Like, hey, I just open the door now.
I just used to keep a rock.
Yeah, there
you go. It was really uncomfortable in my pants.
Yeah, yeah.
People misinterpreted that whole, what it did to the contour of my pants over there. So. Uh-huh.
And then you had to replace a window, so that got expensive.
Yeah, it's all right, especially as long as it happened on a warm day.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're going to get bitten by the clock here.
Yeah, we're getting to the top of the hour. So, all right.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thank you, man. Thank you for keeping an eye on us, Jim. Our eye in the sky.
No problem.
Take care, man.
All right, that was Jim checking in, of course, and watching us, like you said. He's always...
Yeah, he's our fact checker from high above there. That's good to know. So what do we got going on in the future there, right? We still got people floating around in the clouds over there?
I think, a lot of the guests that have been floating, I think a lot of them went to SEMA, and a lot of them haven't come down to Earth yet and stabilized, because now they have work responsibilities that they have to catch up with. And
they
haven't dropped yet, but we will
we'll that just makes together. It, you know what? You never know when you tune in what you're going to get hit with.
Oh,
so by all
truth?
Means, you know, keep it where you got it. You know, don't forget to tune in, or we could also be found on iHeartRadio,
exactly.
Performance Motor Sports Network, plus on the website, too.
Yep, absolutely, motorbathradio.com. And that's it. We're going to wrap this up. Kim will be following us with Thunder Road.
Yes.
The best of Springsteen.
I think I hear her thundering off in the distance there.
So on that, let's see if Track 6 works. Joe, we'll be back next week, and we'll catch you then.
Sounds good.
See ya.
Bye.